Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom's engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Here we are on Thursday, the 14th of January, 2021. Tom, well, 2020, we talked a lot about near record highs and records. Well, believe it or not, we're here in January, and this weekend will be close to a record high. Believe it or not, the high temperature for this time of year is the upper 70s, and I think we're going to be in the mid to close to upper 70s in the next couple of days, aren't we?
Is this? Yes. Well, at least in the low 70s and probably mid 70s a couple of days. But then we're supposed to cool off later in the week. And there's a chance for showers Tuesday night.
Oh, man, do we need the rain? We have had hardly any. Well, we haven't had any officially in 2021 here in Tucson. We're really, really desperate for some precipitation. We are entering now. We are in week two of the 11th year on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we get the ball rolling on this Thursday afternoon by going to the live line with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Mr. Scott was elected in November, the first Democrat to be elected in the Pima County Supervisorial District number one in 50 years. Supervisor Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks so much for another opportunity to be a guest on your show. And I wondered if I could start with just a couple of references to my previous life as an educator, because I wanted to join everybody in our community in paying tribute to Michael Hicks, who passed away recently. I was an administrator in Tucson Unified when during part of Mike's tenure on the school board, and he was always a passionate advocate for the interests of public schools and the kids who attend them. And I just wanted to send my condolences to his family at this sad time.
Yeah, it really is a sad time. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the program. Mike, have known Mike for many, many years, of course, and he put up a good fight, but unfortunately COVID-19 got him. Like it has so many Americans, and we certainly mourn with Mike's family. I know when I read that it was actually Tuesday night when I saw that on Facebook, really upset me a lot, and tossed and turned actually for a couple of hours just thinking about that, because here's somebody that, you know, I'd interviewed many times over the years, and he died from COVID, and it was a shock.
No, no question about it. And, you know, you also, on a much happier note, Bill, made me feel very nostalgic yesterday, because when I moved to Pima County in 1991, I was a teacher at Flowing Wells Junior High School. And my superintendent at the time was Dr. Hendricks, who I know is a frequent guest on your show and was a guest yesterday.
What a mind he has for the educational landscape.
Amazing?
And
oh, yeah.
We enjoy our talks. Usually we do 15 minutes a month, but because of this very difficult education year, we've expanded that to 30 minutes. And we were talking yesterday, and you as a former educator, what a lost year this has been for America's kids and for education. I know the virtual landscape is the best we have, but there's going to have to be, Rex Scott, a complete reset of education after this year.
No question about it, Bill. And my wife is a second grade teacher, and our daughter is a third grade teacher, and both of them on a daily basis are bemoaning the lost opportunities that they have with their kids, especially in terms of helping them to further develop as readers. There's just only so much that you can do be a screen to help any child, but especially a young child, to grow as a learner. And I think your characterization of this time as a lost year is very accurate. And we're going to have to be doing a lot to help all of those kids and their families to recoup those losses.
How are you settling in? You've had one meeting. There'll be another meeting, I believe, next Tuesday, the day after King Day.
Yes, sir. And I will tell you that I am settling in virtually because everything that I've done, every meeting that I've had since my election in November has been either via Zoom or WebEx or Microsoft Teams, and not just with people in the county, but with community groups that have wanted to meet with me. So I spend a lot of time looking into a screen with people looking back at me. And when we had the meeting on the 5th, it was the first time since the pandemic that the entire board had met in a virtual setting. And that speaks to the serious nature of local conditions for the virus right now. And as you said, we'll be doing that next Tuesday as well.
Well, as one of your constituents, I live in District 1. I want to voice what's on my mind while I have you on the line. And I think what I have on my mind is probably what thousands of Pima County residents have on their mind right now, Rex Scott, how we get this vaccine into people's arms as quickly as possible.
Well, I'm really pleased with the response that we've had from the Pima County Health Department to the issue of getting the vaccines out to the public. The first thing I think it's important for people to know is that the Pima County Health Department has to work in conjunction, actually at the direction of the Arizona Health Department. In fact, it is from the Arizona department that we get all of our vaccines. So when people see the different phases, 1A, 1B, 1C, and the different categories of citizens that are under each phase, that is at the direction of the state. And counties can only make minor adjustments to those phases because if they made a significant change, that could affect vaccine distribution to the other 14 counties. But the county administrator put out a memo to the board on the 12th, a little earlier this week, that talked about our accelerated immunization plan that envisions all of the people in phase 1A and 1B to be inoculated by the end of March, and then everybody in group 1C to be inoculated by the end of June. What this is going to require, however, is that we receive additional vaccine doses from the state. The county administrator's memorandum notes that for the rest of January, we're going to have to receive an additional 20,000 doses per week on top of the 12,000 that we're currently getting. That addition will rise to 30,000 in February and 40,000 in March if we're going to meet the goals of the accelerated immunization plan that we have in Pima County. So this requires a lot of coordination and support from state government to make it work, not just in our county, but all 15 of Arizona's counties.
We had Vice Mayor Cunningham on yesterday. He gave a very optimistic picture about this, how he thinks it's going to go. He thinks everyone over 65 and in the other categories by, I think he said April 1st, will have an opportunity. I hope that's the case. We're really slow in our rollout compared to other counties. I understand we're the second slowest after La Paz County.
You know, the last thing I saw, and these were statistics that were posted last week, was that in terms of per capita administration, we had administered more doses of vaccine than any other county.
Really?
So I think the response by our health department, again, working in partnership with the state health department, has been outstanding. And I would also add that we're going to be opening six super distribution sites, six large distribution sites around the county to accommodate the additional number of people as we move into phase 1B and phase 1C. And there's also a plan to open up smaller vaccination centers to handle some of the more rural areas of the county, like the Village of Catalina within District 1.
All right, we're going to pause right here, Rex Scott. I want to tell our listeners about a fine business that is in District 1. If you have not been up to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, you should stop by. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, they have such wonderful bakery goods. And their Danish Kringle is so good. But another one of my favorites, Rex, I don't know if you like blueberry muffins.
But, oh, I love them.
Well, you might want to go by and say hello up at Mona's Danish Bakery and introduce yourself that you are the supervisor representing that area.
I might get a free muffin if I do that.
tell Steve that the owner and chief baker that Bill sent you up there. Anyway, they are open right now for lunch. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, they open each day during the week at 6:30 for breakfast. We'll be right back with Rex Scott in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
And we are welcoming you back to the Buckmaster Show on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And on the live line with me is Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. All right, so coming up, Supervisor Scott, we have Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry's for future in the hands of the board. What do you expect to come out of the meeting on Tuesday concerning his request for a four-year contract extension?
Well, Bill, it's going to always be my policy, and I think this is influenced by my experience as a school administrator, not to discuss personnel issues in advance of the meeting in which they are discussed. I'm grateful for the fact that we will get to use both executive and public sessions to discuss whether or not to renew Mr. Huckleberry's contract, and if we decide to renew it, the components of any contract. Mr. Huckleberry is the and any administrator is the employee of the board, and it's appropriate for the board to use both executive and regular sessions to not only decide whether or not to renew a contract for our chief employee, but also to discuss the components of that contract. And that's why we continued this item from January 5th to January 19th, so that we could discuss the matter in both those settings. And that is something that's granted to any governing body per Arizona Revised Statute. In fact, the Arizona Revised Statutes that govern the use of executive sessions to discuss personnel matters are cited on the agenda for next Tuesday's meeting, which is currently posted.
Well, how will that work? Will there be the open meeting first, then the closed, well, in this case, closed virtual setting? yeah, it won't be a, you know, public in that folks can go to the Pima County Supervisor's Chambers. You're going to be doing this virtually. So what comes first?
Well, there'll be the official opening of the meeting, and then there will be a motion to go into executive session. And executive sessions are used by governing bodies in Arizona to discuss both personnel and legal matters. And if people look at the agenda for next Tuesday's meeting, they will see the personnel matter that we were just discussing about regarding the possible renewal of Mr. Huckleberry's contract, and also three pieces of litigation that we need to be briefed on by our legal counsel. And that's something else that's important to point out, is that anytime any board goes into executive session, they are joined by their legal counsel, because there are certain items that you can discuss in executive session and certain items that you may not. And the legal counsel is there to make sure that we stay within those parameters.
You would be available to discuss right now, though, your opinion of the many years that Mr. Huckleberry has service to the county. What is your opinion of his service?
You know, my opinion of his service is that he is, I think, a model of selflessness. If you look at the fact that he has devoted his entire career to Pima County, not just as the administrator, but his service before that in other county departments, I think his level of commitment and selflessness is absolutely exemplary. I got to know Mr. Huckleberry during the campaign because he meets with candidates at their request. I wanted to use the campaign as an educative experience. And he met with me multiple times. He also set up meetings for me with the deputy administrators so that I could be a more educated and informed candidate. I think he's not only a model of selflessness, I think you also get an indication of the kind of leader somebody is by the team he has assembled. And both during the campaign, the interim period between my election and taking office, and also these 2 weeks that I've been in office, I've gotten to know more and more of the people who Mr. Huckleberry has hired and trained and cultivated over the years, and he's got an outstanding team around him. So I think very highly of him as both a person and a leader, and that opinion is certainly something that will factor into my thinking, but it is not the only factor. There are lots of considerations that we need to keep in mind as we're making this very important decision.
What about the financial situation for the county? The newly elected chair, Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, had an op-ed piece that this pandemic toll has really taken a strain on Pima County's pocketbook.
Well, I appreciated my colleague writing that piece because we have already not only expended everything that was given to us by the federal government in the first CARES Act, but we've gone $15 million above that. We were given $87 million in CARES Act funding, and we've spent that money and $15 million of county money to meet all of our commitments in responding to the pandemic. I think it's also important to point out that Supervisor Bronson just sent a letter on behalf of the board to Governor Ducey, because the second stimulus bill that was passed by the Congress in its lame duck session just before the new year grants money to the state to distribute to the counties for both COVID testing and the cost of administering vaccinations. And we have not yet been informed when Pima County is going to get its share of that money. It's in excess of $400 million for testing, in excess of $60 million for vaccination administration. And we don't know how much of that is going to Pima County, and that was why Chair Bronson sent that letter to the governor so that we could get some idea of when those funds will be made available.
Are we hopefully we're expecting the funds, I hope, in short order, Rex Scott?
I would certainly hope so as well, and that's why she sent the letter that she did. But to date, we do not know the plan for dispersing those funds to the 15 counties, and that is the responsibility of the state.
How about putting your staff together in these very difficult times? Everything's been virtual. What's that process been like for you?
Well, I have a staff of three people, and I was able to decide for myself who I wanted to hire for those three positions. And what I did, because I not only wanted to conduct interviews safely, but also in an informal setting, I actually had those interviews on the back patio at my house. We could sit in a safe distance from each other, the people that I was interviewing for the three positions. And it was also an informal, relaxed setting. We've got a terrific view of mountains and the city from our back patio. And I settled on three people who I think are going to be an outstanding team in helping me to put the office together and be of service to the people of District 1. And unfortunately, because of the pandemic, the four of us have never been able to meet together in the same room. So we meet virtually twice a week via via a virtual platform, virtual meeting platform, and then we also stay in touch via cell phone and text messages and email. But we haven't all been in the same room together.
Wow. That makes it very hard, doesn't it?
It does, but it's a similar arrangement that you will find for my four colleagues and their staffs as well. We share a floor of offices in one of the county buildings, and everybody is working with their staff to make sure that there are never more than a certain number of people in the office at any one time because of the high risk of virus transmission, and everybody is having to stay in touch with each other via those virtual platforms and cell phones.
All right. Rex Scott, Pima County Supervisor, District 1, joining us on the Buckmaster Show for the first time since he is officially taken over as Supervisor, District 1, and we'll look forward to our next visit with him, hopefully next month. Thank you very much, Rex Scott.
Bill, could I mention one quick thing before I go?
Real quickly.
We've got a COVID-19 page on the county website, and there's a link to the page that deals with vaccines from that page. I'd encourage people to visit it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bill.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, your go-to place on 13 acres for some amazing plants, 3384 East River Road. Their website, Green Things AZ, and all of that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, is available at Zocalo Village, five standalone shops, all on the Green Things site. And again, their website, zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining us on the Live Line, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor, Director of Undergraduate Studies in the UA Department of German Studies. He has a broad range of research interests covering the history of medieval and early modern German and European literature and culture from 800 to 1800, but he's also involved in contemporary literature. He writes poetry and prose. He's published hundreds of scholarly articles and book citations, translations, and textbooks, including a handbook on medieval studies. He's won many honors, including the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions. That's in recognition of his outstanding service to German studies. His most recent award, he's the recipient of the German International Exchange Award. Professor Clausen, how are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Bill. My pleasure to be here. I am doing splendidly, I must say. Despite all the gloom and doom and the horrible situation, but yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
You have studied and taught history your entire adult life. How will historians view what happened at the United States Capitol? How do you think that will come down?
Well, Bill, this is a very monumental moment. I think our entire nation stood still. And whatever the outcome might be, it is absolutely certain that the events, however they will be interpreted later, will be in our history books. This has never happened before in our history, and hopefully it will never happen again.
Well, it did happen, at least with the War of 1812, but what you're saying is this particular insurrection at the Capitol is unique.
It is unique, maybe only in our history, but it is not unique in other histories. And that brings, of course, German history into the play and great worries by lots of people involved and knowledgeable about the entire situation, because something similar happened at least numerous times during the Nazi regime in Germany. I'm happy to talk more about that, but just simply see how your questions go.
Timothy Snyder, who is a historian of fascism at Yale, sees these parallels. Mm-hmm. And in a moment, we'll talk about the parallels, and then I'm going to also talk about a gentleman who wrote about why Donald Trump isn't Hitler. But let's begin with the parallels that Timothy Snyder sees, beginning with the news media.
Well, one thing is very striking. As we all know, our president has dominated the media, and you just could read it this morning in the paper one more time. He has been the most central focus point. However, the situation is different between 1933 and 2017 until today, because at that time, the Nazis managed very rapidly to take control of the radio, which was the one massive media, and they took complete control of the newspapers. Today, we have a very different situation. I remember the book fair on campus, the book festival, when one of the editors of the New York Times was here and talked about it, and he said, since Trump has been in office, New York Times has experienced a tremendous boost in its subscriptions. In other words, the media are more independent, and there have been enormous amount of civic groups online and in other media who have started organizing their own campaigns and discussions, which was not the case in Germany. Very quickly, since 1933, all media were completely streamlined and controlled. And that is, of course, thank God, not the case in our country right now.
What about the whole thing of fake news? This Timothy Snyder piece, The American Abyss, got a lot of play in the New York Times Magazine.
Right.
I know you read it. That Donald Trump presented himself as the single source of truth, according to Mr. Snyder, and his use of the term fake news echoed the Nazi smear, and I don't know the German word for it, which was lying press.
Yeah, Lügenpresse, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a fundamental thing that concerns the entire world of education, for example, and that's the reason why I'm, as a professor, so concerned about that. If our nation begins to question everything, begins to question all science, all scholarship, news outlets, then we really have lost it. Because once there is no more consensus on basic knowledge, what we know and what we do not know, what we can verify and what we cannot verify, if we don't have that consensus as a nation, we will fall apart completely. But I'm very optimistic. I look around and I see there are lots of very good scholars. I talk with lots of students, and they understand, and they are young and vibrant and very open-minded, but they also understand what does it mean to establish knowledge. This is contested, but at the same time, there is clear scholarship. And let's take maybe global warming. There are people, many politicians who say, particularly in a certain faction, who say, I am not a scientist, but I know there is no global warming. That is absurd, completely absurd. And it gives complete power to anyone in the public who has no knowledge but has maybe the finger on the public pulse. And that is what is so dangerous.
Hitler came to power at a moment when the conventional press had taken a beating in Germany. The financial crisis of 2008 did to American newspapers what the Great Depression did to the German ones. The Nazis thought they could use the radio to replace the old pluralism of the newspaper. That's according to Mr. Snyder, the historian of fascism at Yale. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, very much so. And let's just imagine what happened in 1933. Hitler and his people basically made sure that every German family got a radio. But that radio had only one station.
Oh, really?
One station, so no. People could listen to Hitler's speeches and other Nazis. So that was a perfect system. It was a new technology. Everyone was glued to the radio. And so masses of people could be swayed by the Nazi propaganda. That is not the case today.
790-2040 for comments for Professor Claassen. He'd be happy to hear what you have to say. We got a question for you on Facebook that just came in. Does your guest think that extremism violence will continue and even grow in the United States?
Well, there is a certain danger. We have millions of people who are very angry and irrational. I mean, that's the key point. There's a huge swath of a population that is angry because they are white, Christians, and they hate women and they hate minorities. That is a huge issue. It is not just Trump, or it's not just this government. It is a deep paradigm shift our country is going through, and every paradigm shift throughout history has caused a lot of fears and worries. So, but overall, I am rather optimistic. I think there are a lot of very strong and good forces that work toward unification and, shall we say, harmony in this country. But the fear of a certain section of this population will not simply go away. They are economically threatened. They are threatened because women are more in power than before. They're afraid that blacks could take over. But look at what happened in Georgia. They even voted a senator, a black senator, and they voted a Jew into the Senate seat. That is a sea change, enormous proportion. And so I think ultimately things will work out well. We are a strong country, and I believe in our system that it will survive.
Dr. Albrecht Clausen will continue with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is the University of Arizona Distinguished Professor, Director of Undergraduate Studies in the University of Arizona Department of German Studies. Our conversation with Dr. Clausen continues, 790-2040. If you'd like to join the conversation, be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back with the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City, only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Start your planning now. The pandemic will end, and people will be able to travel comfortably again over to the Land of Enchantment. You can start your planning at southwestnewmexico.org, places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. We continue our conversation with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor, Director of Undergraduate Studies in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. We have a couple of folks holding, Mike and Ray, but before we get to them, I do want to bring this up, this article by Ido Vok, Why Donald Trump Isn't Hitler. This was in the New Statesman of August 28th, 2020. Mr. Vok says those comparing Trump with the Nazi leader are externalizing responsibility for this country's failings. And he says, much as Frederick Meinecke, whose book in 1946 titled The German Catastrophe could not grasp that Hitler was a uniquely German phenomena. Americans who compare Trump to Hitler fail to understand that Trump fits his time and place. If the collapse of the American democracy comes, it will not parallel the 1933 Enabling Act. It will fit the American context, the American here and now, and it will be the possibility, a responsibility of Americans. Before we get to our calls, your comment on that, please.
Yeah. One thing is very clear for me. Both men have a certain degree of charisma. That is one reason why Trump is so successful. Whether you like it or not, he has a certain charisma. He appeals to masses of people and can thereby lead them along. However, the huge difference is Hitler had a very systematic program. He had a very smart ideological concept of how to denigrate Jews and any other minorities to the point of eliminating them completely. That was a highly systematic approach. Trump, in my opinion, is a president who thinks of himself, only of himself. He's interested in his money and his golf. The rest doesn't matter to him.
All right, let's get to the calls. Ray is up first. Ray, go ahead.
Thank you for the accepting my call. I got a question for the professor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just need to know how he thinks the view the Trump administration will be in history after, you know, everything that's gone on, because of a lot of it was affected by the mass media, which has been almost monolithic in the reporting and opposition to his election. And even though half the electorate voted for Trump, I believe that they were basically choosing the lesser of two evils, most of them. You know, and I just wonder if history's going to have a really mixed review on the supporters of Trump.
Well, history will teach us different lessons, because history will look at the records. We'll look very carefully. Did he really improve the conditions of the American people or not? Or did he improve the life of the super rich only? The records will be there on the table to evaluate that. Did he help our environment? Yes or no? The records will be on the table. I don't think there will be positive records. Did he help us solve the immigration issue? Apart from the wall, which is very thin and can be cut through very easily, I don't think so. History will teach us that, and we have the right archives and documents to determine that. So what we need at this point, in my opinion, is the transition to the new government, and this new government needs to work to help everyone and calm down people and refocus on what we all as Americans need. And I think that's what then history ultimately will tell us.
Next caller is Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're with Professor Claussen.
Hi. Yeah. I just had a comment. I know there's, you know, a lot of irrationality in politics. I heard him, kind of describe a sort of the irrational Trump base. I don't see a lot of myself. I don't see a lot of the Trump base being particularly irrational. I know there are some, but there are a lot of, you know, legitimate political issues that, you know, Trump did bring to the conversation that are not really being talked about. As far as I see it, there is some controversy for, you know, global warming policy and science, economic policy. Globalization is real, you know, nationalization versus globalization. He mentioned immigration. Lately I think there's some evidence of voter fraud that's very big, but, you know, that's obviously a hot button issue right now. But, I just thought that, you know, I don't see them as necessarily irrational. I just kind of see that there's really a conversation that we should be having based on facts and science that really is not being had. I wondered if you saw any legitimate issues that Trump brought to the table.
All right.
Well, I agree with you, first of all, that we need a rational approach to this. We need a critical discussion, and we need to come together again and accept that we have slightly different viewpoints. But ultimately, the basis is, of course, that we all 100% believe in our country, and we want our country to be as strong as possible and healthy and happy. How we approach this, that is, and how, what emphases we take, that is a matter of political debate. And I think what we need in the future is that the two parties need to sit down and discuss more critically with more open minds. But let's take one issue, global warming, when 99% of all scientists in the entire world agree that there is global warming. Then you cannot simply say that the 1% have a much greater weight than 99% of everyone else. Otherwise, you will never reach consensus.
When historians look at legacies, it's almost, it's very difficult, isn't it, Professor, to kind of look at legacies in real time? In other words, you have to put some time between when the president leaves office, and I don't know, it's going to take a while, yeah. or what?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is that we should not simply see everything as a direct analogy. We cannot simply look at the time of Hitler and then say this is what happens today. This is inappropriate, and it murks up things. But what we need to do is to see what has happened, what can happen, what has happened in the past, and see what impact that have and how we can learn from that. So I had a phenomenal experience. I was reading with my students over the winter break just some medieval stuff, so completely removed from what happens today. But when this thing happened on January 6th, we were all stunned of the parallels and how much we could learn for ourselves today to view the situation today critically through a historical lens.
Parallels with some of the medieval history?
Yeah, for example, what is a good leader? What does treason mean? How can we establish trust in politics through ethics, high values, idealism, fighting for the people and not against the people? So these fundamental values have already been expressed in the past in a powerful way, even in literary terms. And my students were totally stunned and said, oh, my God, I never even thought that I could learn this through this kind of material.
Professor Claassen, always a pleasure to chat with you. I hope you are well. Stay safe.
Thank you.
To you and your family during these very difficult times. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir, and also my best wishes to you. Stay well.
Thank you very much. Dr. Albrecht Claassen is University Distinguished Professor and Director of Undergraduate Studies in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. Always a pleasure to have him on the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to wrap it up to the Buckmaster Show as I rush off to my dental appointment, which I'm not looking forward to, but some things we have to get done. And that's one of them. But that's going to wrap it up for Buckmaster on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.